I am here in studio with State Representative Matt Moratori of Plymouth, and we appreciate you joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, it's early in the year here, 2024. It's like, oh my gosh, I keep saying, I can't believe it's 2024. I kept saying that, you know, 2 weeks before Christmas. Yeah. It's like, how did this happen?
It seemed like New Year's was months ago.
Yeah. But here we are.
Here we are. I know.
And we've already had, you know, some weather. We've got some rain on the way. I want to do a quick recap with you about it.
Sure.
2023, the year in review. It's funny. During the year, you think, well, I don't know. Even in the newsroom, I don't really remember. Did we do that much? And then you look back and like, wow.
Yeah, when you start putting it down on paper, you did. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Something I wanted to ask you about. This is an ongoing issue and with many people concerned about. And that's with what's going on with the decommissioning of Pilgrim with Holtec. You have legislation. I think it's House Bill 3199,
yeah.
An act updating the decommissioning oversight of Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant. What is that exactly?
So in the legislation came through in 2016 where it created a nuclear decommissioning advisory panel. It's a citizen advisory panel. Since that time, and that panel was really, it's made up of a lot of stakeholders from the state, from almost every secretariat through the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's made up of citizens, obviously. People that are interested in overseeing the nuclear power plant. At that time, it was still open. But since then, it's been closed. So now we're in the decommissioning phase. And what's happened over the last several years is that the state folks that are on that commission, they never vote. So there's no vote. There's no funding for it. So I was approached by the chair at the time, John Mahoney, to say, hey, is there anything we could do statewide to change this? So Kathy Lenatra and I both looked into this, and we found, well, maybe by making a state panel. So we've created this legislation that will create a state panel, very similar setup, very similar folks that will be on there still, still having the citizens involved, but having the state actually oversee it. And with the state overseeing it, we'll be able to get people to vote. We'll be able to get some funding for it as well, and really have it to ensure that it's actually being decommissioned in a proper way. Now, it's not saying it's not right now, but by having more state involvement on the ground and letting us as the citizens know what's happening there from state people, I think makes more sense.
So it's not really controlled by the feds then completely?
Not by the feds, just strictly the state.
Okay.
Over the years, and you know, I've been involved with this almost 20 years with this power plant, and the state has never had an involvement in it until Charlie Baker, when he was the governor, mm-hmm. finally said, you know what, maybe we do need to have this citizens advisory panel to have some involvement. Nobody ever wanted to get involved with this. They thought it was a federal issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it affects us not only locally, but the entire state.
Okay. So any other advantages that you see to this? Because I know people get very, people are very invested in it, mm-hmm. and people get very emotionally involved in it, and I can understand why.
Yeah, it's really not. Again, the makeup is going to be very similar to what we have now,
mm-hmm.
With a few minor changes, but it'd be very similar, and it'll still be citizens involvement, and it'll still have open meetings on either quarterly or monthly or every other month, however they want to do it. To make sure the citizens know what's happening.
Okay. Something else I saw that was very interesting, mental health.
Yeah.
That has been an ongoing issue, more so, I think, heightened during the pandemic and after the pandemic.
Yeah.
And sometimes things that you think about, well, that's probably covered by law. Not necessarily
no.
so.
No.
And I know that there is a lack of facilities for mental health, and it seems sometimes in the chain of command, it seems like there might be a step or two missing to help people get the help they need. You have a very interesting bill, which I want you to tell our listeners about, that I think might make a difference when it comes to maybe staving off some bad incidents.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, last year we passed a major mental health bill that's going to help with a lot of those issues you just brought up with some more beds, more available beds, more services that are local to people. What this one does, and 47 other states have this, it's called an act to provide critical community health services.
That's 1694.
That's 1694. Okay. And that's and what some people call it assisted outpatient therapy as well. It's in 47 other states. And this bill would create a new court-supervised community-based mental health treatment process, providing critical health wraparound services with the continuity of care to people with severe mental illness. Now, What that all means is that the people that kind of fall through the cracks, and I'll use the example of the guy in Lewiston, Maine,
Robert Card.
Right, everyone knew he had an issue, but there was nothing anybody could do about it until there's an issue.
Right,
you can't get involved.
So when people say he's doing this, he's saying this,
yep.
we're worried that he might
yep.
X, Y, Z,
right.
and they say, we can't do anything until he does something.
And
would
the key,
this
right, and
make
the key
a difference?
Is, exactly right. And the key is he had a history of mental health issues as well, and nothing was ever done. So in this bill, a lot more people, like, you know, a spouse, the police, you know, a relative, a neighbor, can call the police and say, hey, we're worried about this person. Can you come investigate? Mm-hmm. And now the police, whoever, can say, or you can bring the person in and say, I'm worried about this person. Please have him evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has a history, he or she has a history of this, then they are brought into the court and they're put through a system. Not arrested. There's no criminal record.
Okay.
But they get these wraparound services and continuing services. Because the problem with a lot of people with severe mental health is they don't have the services. We tell them, okay, go to the doctor. Here's your pills. Take them or don't take them. There's no follow-up with it, and that's the key, to have follow-up with this.
It's interesting. You're getting support for this up at the State House?
There is getting support, yeah. At the State House level, yes. There are some groups out there that, you know, there are always people that don't like, you know, people's rights. That they say their rights are being taken away from. It's not taking their rights away. It's helping them with the need that they have.
Pretty interesting to see where that bill goes. Now, it's interesting. We talked a little bit off air, and I was talking a little bit about my sister-in-law, who's a ski instructor and works with some of the Wounded Warrior programs and teaches adaptive skiing. And I've seen the difference that it makes in their lives. But yet when he actually made it one of her students, I would say student, here's the guy who's, you know, a big, tough war veteran. She had to help him raise money to buy his monoski so he could go to the Paralympics.
Yeah.
So you're the one that told me that a lot of these other types of prosthetics, you know, like the things they run with,
the blades. Yeah.
That's not covered by insurance.
So insurances don't, and that's exactly what happens now. If you want to raise money for, you know, for limb differences, people limb differences, you have to raise money for it. The insurances do not cover it.
It's expensive.
It's expensive. So people have to raise money for it. So there's about 84,000 people in Massachusetts that are limb difference. And I've learned this just through the last, you know, year or so. And they would like to have physical activity, but they don't have the prosthesis to actually do physical activity, whether it's arms, legs, whatever, because insurances won't cover for physical activity. So what we're asking is that insurances cover for physical activity, because as you know, people that are more active, exercise and all that, they live better lives and
absolutely
healthier lives.
Hey, something I wanted to ask you that I never knew about, and I saw this that you were sponsoring it, an act for a sales tax exemption for animal medication.
I've never heard of this. Right, and we talked off air on this.
I've got two dogs.
This is a great part of this job, because when that was brought to my attention from a citizen, I'm like, I didn't know that. I have a dog as well. But it makes sense, because we as humans don't pay a tax on prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
So why do animals need to? So we filed that bill as well.
My dogs will be happy to hear that.
Yeah, let's hope.
And then a bill that we've been following very closely, because, again, we know about the tremendous service that local cable access provides.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell people, it's not your father's cable access. I mean, these are pretty sophisticated operations that really proved, I think, their mettle, especially during the pandemic.
During COVID, yeah.
And not only giving people information, but that's where the kind of kick-jumped the whole idea about being able to participate remotely in a lot of these meetings that people, unless you went to town hall or maybe, you know, maybe here and there, there would be something about a meeting. This really made a difference. And when I see that they're in danger of losing a lot of their funding because of the cutback in cable, to me, that's another nail in the coffin of local news.
Sure.
We need it.
Absolutely. You know, when I first became elected selectman in 2010 in Plymouth, we had WATD was at every meeting we had. You know, the Old Colony Memorial, the Patriot Ledger. We had people there covering every meeting.
Right.
It's accountability, but it also lets the public know what's happening. What's happened over time, and that's not happening anymore. Nobody goes to any the select board, planning board meetings and all that to report on it. And during COVID, we really showed, as you said, is that we needed that connection for people to keep government going. And people would watch. People need that now.
Absolutely. And I, as we have mentioned, you know, with the cutback in cable, part of the fee that went with your local cable access, that's what's cutting back.
Yeah.
And this would now impose take a portion of that streaming fee, if you're Netflix, et cetera. And it's, I believe it's only pennies. And
It's only pennies. What happens now, and people don't realize this, on your cable bill, you get charged a certain percentage, and that money goes back to the town, and the town uses it for, in our case, PAC TV.
Okay.
And it shows local programming. What we're saying now, as people are cutting their cable bills and just doing streaming services, there's no funding for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying, all right, why don't we move those pennies over to the streaming services and have them pay a fund into Massachusetts,
okay,
so that the cities and towns can get the money for it.
Okay, now part of my job, of course, is rumor control here. Yeah. There is a rumor out there that you are going to be running for the state.
I thought you said this was only 10 minutes.
There's a rumor. Okay, I got to ask you this. There's a rumor out there that you are running for state senate, and that is for the Plymouth Barnstable seat. Again, Sue Moran not running for re-election.
Yeah, yeah.
It's four towns on this side of the bridge, four towns, and they're what? Pembroke, Kingston, Plymouth, and Plimpton. Falmouth, Bourne, Sandwich, and Mashpee.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to run for the seat?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm really giving a serious thought. Vinny DiMacedo, who was a former senator, called me to tell me that all this was happening, and when he didn't run the last time, when he stepped away, it wasn't the right time. Now things seem to be the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still talking with family. I'm talking to dozens and dozens of people in all those communities. And the other thing I just found out recently is that I actually live 5 minutes from the Sagamore Bridge. So I'm actually right in the middle of the entire district. So all these little things seem to be falling
into
place.
Stars are aligning.
Stars are aligning. So yeah, we're really thinking about it, and we'll probably make an announcement soon.
Okay, because I'm gonna hold you to it again.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thank
again,
you.
State Representative, possibly running for state senate, Matt Moratori of Plymouth.